when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Shelby Gallagher here. Welcome to Prepping 2.0, episode 52. Really great topic today, the cartelification of America with our guest Sean Swanson. But first, before I do anything, I must welcome and say good morning to my husband and partner in life, Glenn Tate.
Good morning, Shelby. How are you? Can I just say I am loving the slightly raspy Demi Moore voice is a very nice thing, and I can't really concentrate now because all I can do is think about your voice. So,
and I don't know how I can tell this week there's a cold coming on, but I've had this voice for several days now, and you haven't complained.
Nope.
So.
Nope, it's a good thing, gentlemen. I think you know what I'm talking about. We're going to leave it at that. Well, since I've kind of taken over the floor, I'd like to announce our guest. We'll be hearing from him in a couple minutes. This is a good one, guys. This is Sean Swanson, a good friend of both of ours, a former private military contractor. He's been all over the world and done all kinds of things and seen all kinds of things. And he's an intellectual too. And normally when I hear the word intellectual, I'm like hitting the pause button and going somewhere else because I don't really like intellectuals. But he's got a thought process to some of the things we're going to talk about how he sees America going into a cartel, more cartel-like model, and what all that means for preppers. Because what, Shelby, what do we always bring everything back to? How this relates to prepping and all that other stuff. It's not a political show per se.
No, not at all.
It's about stuff, you know, triggering conditions that we then have to adapt to. That's what we're talking about. And as usual, I love talking about our sponsors, our awesome sponsors. We have EMP Shield. They make a device that, believe it or not, and I actually do believe this after doing my homework, shields whatever you wire it into from the effects of an EMP. And it's for real, been tested, and they have a bunch of government contracts that I actually can't talk about. And it actually works. A good friend of mine has, even before they were a sponsor of the show, had been a fan of EMP Shield. If you go onto our website, prepping2-0, and go onto the friends and affiliates page, you can click on their link and get $50 off each one of their devices. They're about $300 devices. So it's not $50 off $1,000, because that doesn't do anybody any good. So it's a significant savings. Another sponsor we love, Numana Foods. They make freeze-dried foods in sort of bulk packages instead of like camping, you know, mountain house kind of things. Good deep preps. If you go onto their website, Numana, N-U-M-A-N-N-A. I always think of their name as like manna from heaven. This is the new manna, right? N-U, manna. Go onto their website and use the coupon code PREP. You'll get 10% off your order. They have a cool thing, $19.95. They'll send you a sample of some of these foods, because why would you buy a bunch of food that you couldn't try? It might be terrible. Well, you can try their food like I have done. I actually have a bunch of their food, and it's really, really good. And our third sponsor we're very happy to have is KT Armor, C-A-T-I, which stands for Come and Take It, right? There's a nice spirit. They make steel plates that are great body armor. There's a 10% discount if you use the coupon code GRANT, as in Grant Mattson. And Shelby, something just came in the mail you need to tell some people about. This is cool.
We are so excited about this. So many of you have gone to our website under our shop tab. That's where you can go and shop for some of the swag and merch that we have. And we have had a whole lot of fun sending a whole lot of people patiently awaiting the collapse stickers and stuff. But we've just developed, after a long process, t-shirts. So what's really cool is we have our first order of t-shirts, and of course you and I got ours and we've been wearing them. And you've had a few funny conversations. Do you want to
tell yours? Can I tell the quick story? This is hilarious. So I'm wearing t-shirt number one of the entire series, and these are going to be available to Patreons first. The first batch is going to sell out quickly.
Hang in there, fans. Yours are coming soon. Really soon.
One of the things benefits Patreons get is they get the first crack at cool stuff. So I'm wearing t-shirt number one, and this random guy looks at me and he goes, "Hey, what does your shirt say?" And I said, "Patiently awaiting the collapse." And he goes, "What collapse?" And I said, "You'll see." It was fun. Get the t-shirt. Just have moments like that. It was hilarious. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So those are coming. So hang in there. And when I say coming, we've had this discussion before. I'm not talking about coming in March. They will be coming here in the next few weeks. And we'll definitely be announcing that and putting it out there on social media. The other thing that we do every chance we get is we count down the top 100 things that disappear in a collapse. You can go to our website, prepping2-0.com, in the lower right. That list has been really fun to reference. We've done it since almost the beginning of our show, and it has created some good conversations. We're at number 45, and it is work clothes and work boots and that sort of thing. So when I think of that, I think of Carhartt's kind of stuff. I think of that super heavy-duty denim. I think of heavy-duty leather boots, maybe steel toes kind of thing. I will say this right now, all of that sort of clothing right now in your clothing stores tends to be on sale because it's fall and it's hunting season. So that outdoor, rugged, super durable, and you're not looking to look like a soy boy that's wearing a plaid shirt with a really cool beard. This is durable stuff. Yes, Glenn.
I have some thoughts on this. I'm a huge fan of the work clothes and the work boots for the obvious reasons, like you're going to be outside doing work you don't normally have to do
right
in peacetime. You're going to be cutting wood, for example. A couple things that I find particularly awesome about Carhartt's, for example, the fleece-lined pants are so much warmer, and it is a big deal. If you have just your regular, you know, millennial skinny jeans, and it's 20 degrees out, and you're trying to cut wood, that's going to be a problem for you. Invest the $42 or whatever it is and get fleece-lined Carhartt's, and ladies and gentlemen, be sure to maybe get one size larger if you're doing inside the waistband concealment. The other thing I love about Carhartt's, I love the vests, because when you've got a combat shirt on that has, you know, the sleeves with the thicker material that have the pockets, but the part on your torso that you put kit over is thinner. I'm always freezing out there. I'm like, hey, I wish there was something I could have that would keep my core warm. Oh, wait, how about a Carhartt vest, right? With the little furry stuff. It looks like sheep fur or whatever.
It's faux fleece.
Faux fleece. it's really nice and really warm. Here's another thing about Carhartt or whatever kind you want.
Work grade sort of stuff. Yeah,
work clothes. If you're walking around in Carhartt's or whatever, you don't look suspicious. If you're walking around in, you know, multicam Tropic, that's going to set off a few flares there, right? Yeah, set off a few flares. So look like you're the guy who's out to, like, you know, install a refrigerator or something like that. You can move around under more cover. They're warm, they're durable, and you're right, fall is the time to get them. Huge fan of that kind of stuff. And boots, and we've talked about footwear in the past. That's one of the things that goes the quickest. People, if you're trying to cut wood and do all kinds of stuff in tennis shoes or, God forbid, flip-flops. Oh, man. Rolled ankle, bam. Just get in the ditch
rolled
right
ankle,
now.
Rolled ankle cuts, yes. Bad stuff. So, and let me add to that, too. This steel-toed something. Get some steel-toed boots and wear them around on your property, whether you're in a city or out of a city, just so that they get broken in. Because when stuff gets really real, you need to protect your feet. Honestly. So that, and again, this is the time of year that for some reason this kind of stuff goes on sale all the time. And it's a lot of it is found in your hunting, outdoor sports, fishing kind of gear stores. So yeah, it's a big deal. So the next thing, I'm so excited because now we get to like talk about the show today. I'm so excited. Our guest, Sean Swanson, is here. Good morning. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, thank you. And you bring up a good point with that. We had Sean on. We were trying to figure it out without having to distract ourselves for too long. It was in our early stages of our show that we had you on. Had a good conversation then. So, Sean, remind us again about your background.
worked extensively for Dot Mill. I'm not as interesting as the folks that I know and have worked against. So I've been a military contractor for years and years. Back to the States now, and just glad to be home and live life a little bit easier and enjoy each other's company.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Sean, we talked about this before we came on the show, and you and I had, as usual, when you have a conversation with Sean Swanson, it's amazing and enlightening. And I don't know who came up with it, doesn't matter, but this term, the cartelification of America, came up because you were talking about when you look at America a few years into the future, the seeds are already here, but a few years into the future, you and I and Shelby both think, or all three of us think, that it's America is going to start looking a lot more like, say, Mexico or other places in the world, you can elaborate, where cartels run things. And before you start talking about it, I want to let people know what we're not talking about. We're not saying that tomorrow there's going to be, like, you know, people in Ames, Iowa, driving semi-loads of fentanyl around. We're not talking like a carbon copy of Mexico. And we're also, and this is important, you and I know this, but the Southern Poverty Law Center listens to the show. Hi, guys. How you doing? And so we like to make things really clear for them. We're not talking about Mexicans moving to the United States and turning the United States into a carbon copy of Mexico that has cartels. This is not like a racial thing. This is, and you'll get into it, economic, political, social, nothing to do with race. And there are going to be plenty of white people, maybe the Rotary Club for all we know, who are going to be acting like cartels. So there you go, Southern Poverty Law Center. Way to go. Now I have to explain stuff and blow my flow. So I hate you guys. Anyway, go ahead, Sean. What is this whole, what, just talk, because when you talk, listeners love it.
Well, you know, when you talk about cartelification of America, what we're really, you know, drilling deep on is how transnational criminal organizations have impacted us in our daily lives, as well as the methods of warfare that we have. In the Western Hemisphere, when you speak about Mexico and Mexico City and things like that, I think that America is going to see more of the breadth and depth of the problems that we can state like they are, we're going to end up having here as well. So we're not going to, there isn't going to be a loss of government, but a weakened state that we operate in that's going to reflect much more the Mexico's model than we might think.
Exactly. And of course, to tie it back as usual, this affects you, Mr. and Mrs. Prepper, listening right now, because how you're going to, I don't know, navigate the cartelification, how you're going to deal with the government's reaction to cartels, how you're going to get food for your family that might involve having to work through cartels, all of this is what matters. So yeah, just keep going. Just give us your theory, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, I we're talking about an operating environment. What we're concerned about is predicting what we're going to need to be ready for and what we're going to be having to prepare for daily. So when you're looking at those things, what you need to look at is what kind of violence are you going to run into? What kind of ignorance that's going to be proffered out there in the media and information operations in your environment as well? And you're going to be surrounded by poverty and disease that you may have not seen before. And it's going to be in your face, and it's going to be something that you can't ignore, but you want to ignore.
Sounds like you've seen this in places in the world.
Yeah, I've seen it operating in Kabul and Baghdad writ large, and a number of other places across the world, including South America. And I think that you're going to be seeing it more in our city centers, and it's going to creep out from there into small communities.
So, well, let me jump in here and ask you this, because the word cartelification, immediately in most people's mind, I think ours as well, you think of Mexico and you think of what's happening there. But it's, would you say that this is happening to some level already in America to a degree? And if so, some examples, some beginnings of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at what's happening and where we're headed with this, I mean, just look at the crime levels that are going on. you know, the focus that we have in the news now about social injustice, some of the illicit trade that you see that's been around for quite some time, and the violence and dislocation of people that's been going on. I think these are all points that you can see, and they're all drivers from deep roots. And those deep roots have to do with transnational criminal organizations and operating in a weakened state. You'll find that when things don't work, people still need things, their goods and services to work from. And when you can't find them from illicit sources, you're going to find illicit ways to get them. And I think we're seeing that in as small a bedroom communities and as large as the biggest cities get in the United States.
Wow. So one of the examples we talked about earlier was an example you had that happened in Mexico that just happened recently. And I think I'd love to hear you give that example. And now here's the thing. Someone's going to hear this example. So I'm going to give you a follow-up question right now. Someone's going to hear that example and go, oh, that can never happen in America. No, 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 no. So follow up with that to that person who says that, to this example you say.
Well, just before the 18th of this month, we saw the state of Mexico try to go after Ovidio Guzman, which is El Chapo's son. And they cornered him in Culiacan and tried to effect the capture of him. And during that capture, we saw the response that occurred from the cartel and their network. Obviously, the state forces seized Guzman, and then all of a sudden got surrounded themselves. Our technology today and what's available in across the world and even the poorest communities has allowed all of us to adapt to problems faster and bring in people much faster for a response than even the government can respond to. And what happened from there is basically you had the state forces who captured Ovidio get surrounded. And at the same time, other forces from the cartel went into the local city and started shooting it up, picking their targets and choosing to create chaos and so discord in the communities that don't see that every day. And we're not talking just with a handgun. These cartel members are now armed very much on par with our military forces. They're using RPGs and 50 caliber heavy machine guns. So the effect that this has is a ripple effect. You've got violent lobbying going on from the cartel to make the state concede and make concessions to their actions, and they're not controlling areas now. And that's happening across Mexico. And I can say some of that's bleeding into the United States as well.
So I'm going to just summarize here because I'm going to put it into Shelby language. So guy gets caught by the state. State's got him. They're ready to let's leave. We got him out of here. They get surrounded because somebody sent it. That's what you're talking about. Somebody sent a text. Somebody put something up on an app or
yep.
There was intel sent out. They get surrounded by cartels, cartel army. They not only get surrounded, but now they take the city hostage. We're going to shoot people, innocent victims, until you let him go. So the city and the town is held hostage. The police force just got de-pantsed publicly and shown their weaknesses, and they run the state. So, yeah. So, again, what would you say to the person that could never happen in here? No, no, no. I don't need to prepare for that. What would you say to them?
That could never happen. Take a deeper look. You know, take a pause.
Exactly.
Take a pause and actually examine and find facts. And they're right in front of us now. But what's happening now with the cartelification is you're seeing that non-state forces are now near peer with their weapons capabilities and their network capabilities. And that is a dangerous moment to live in. And we're living in that moment.
So, and let me ask this too, because you and I have had conversations about this. So this is what I see. When I hear you describe that and how we need to be prepared for that, where I see that happening in America, and if you follow me on social media, you know I talk about this a lot, about how Antifa in particular, in certain collapsing cities, is allowed to, by the police forces, have their way. They're allowed to act assaultive, arson, property damage, and the police stand back and just kind of, you know, keep them in one area that's really big, and that's about all they do, and the police do nothing. And then when they do have video footage, they don't go after an arrest, and when if somebody is arrested, they it's a catch and release program. It is lawlessness. I see that being very similar to the cartelification that you just described in Mexico. What would you say?
It's absolutely a part of it. You know, we can't escape the fact that, that violent lobbying happens and corruption is in our face every day. If you look at what's happened with the Epstein case that no one's talking about anymore.
Exactly. Yes,
you know,
keep going, yeah.
We're talking about a gentleman that was under watch that was basically murdered in his cell in a federal prison. You know, where can we go with that? I mean, there are people out there with a tremendous reach that are corrupt and they're acting, and we just aren't going to escape that as a feature of our lives daily now.
This is an I Miss America moment for me. I Miss America, where somebody commits a crime, no matter what, where they are on the political scale, they are prosecuted by the jury of their peers and sent to jail. That doesn't happen anymore. And Epstein's a good example of that. And yeah, that went poof when the word Ukraine came up, right?
Right.
So, and you, Glenn, you did a whole show on the whole, there's two justice systems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody out there knows it and feels it and sees it. And one of the things in about a couple minutes, we're going to go into our next segment. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot in the next segment, because it's a big topic. Sean mentioned a weakened state. And that is a precondition to all this stuff we're talking about. Because, as you mentioned, Shelby, when you said I miss America, in the old days, the state was strong enough to actually have a justice system and to carry out these sentences. And the state was strong enough because the people supported the government in America and basically said, well, if this Epstein guy is really guilty, why, doggone it, he needs to go to jail. And there would have been prosecutors that would have prosecuted. And here's the thing, there wouldn't have been tons of politicians and other powerful people that had been going to Epstein's brothels or whatever they are and had all this compromising information on him. It was possible in the past for the American justice system to actually work, because while every country has its problems, we didn't have the kind of corruption and rottenness, for lack of a better term, that we have now. So now, when things are messed up and corrupt, it is possible for a guy like Epstein to have the goods on people that would prosecute him. And then by some miracle, he actually gets charged. And then you see how it turns out. Everybody knows he was murdered in jail. It's not even debatable. And so when people like you and me and Sean start observing these things, and you can't miss it, by the way, you can't miss it. We start observing these things. The government is weakened because we don't have trust, and we shouldn't. It would be foolish to assume that the justice system is going to work hunky-dorily, which is an adverb, and I make up one term on every show, and that's it for
ding, ding, ding.
For this one. So yeah, hunky-dorily.
Yeah, I have to say, just on the tail end of that, you know, trust is the basis for legitimacy.
So as we sit here and listen to this, and we only have like a minute left, let me just kind of stop us there and encourage all of you who are just listening to this going, oh no, more headlines, more stuff that I don't want to hear about. I hear about it all the time. I don't want to hear about Epstein anymore. I don't want to hear about what's happening at the border anymore. And how does this relate to prepping? I get it. Hang tight. We're going to tie it all together after the break and how this applies to prepping. Don't go away.
We'll be back with more of Sean Swanson in the second segment, but I wanted to remind everybody, if you think that this topic, this kind of thing that nobody else talks about, is the kind of thing you want to hear more of, look at our past episodes, which are all available at prepping2-0.com. You're not going to want to miss these episodes. It's that next level. It's the stuff you need for the next level. So we're going to come back in the second segment and ask Sean about the weakened state, because that's what's starting all of this. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss it.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years. The perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Prepping 2.0 is about that next level of prepping. One of the key 2.0 items to have is bulletproof body armor plates. I used to think body armor was too tactical for a regular guy like me, but it isn't. Give yourself, your family, and your team an unfair advantage when bullets are flying. Body armor used to be expensive and hard to get. Not anymore. KD Armor, and that stands for Come and Take It, makes solid and affordable body armor for normal people. Get body armor while you can. The clowns in Congress are trying to prohibit future sales. KD Armor is the place to get it. CATIArmor.com. Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount when you use the coupon code GRANT.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for hanging with us after the break. So I left us with the idea before the break that we're listening to Sean Swanson. He's our guest today, has a lot of experience in other countries and cultures, watching them collapse and been involved in those efforts and watching it happen here in the United States. How does that prepare us now? How does that better way to say this. Sean, how does that affect us as preppers? What do we need to be thinking about now?
Well, you know, when we're thinking about, you know, collapse, I don't even actually like the term collapse, to tell you the truth. You know, we're specifically looking at a weakened state, and we're looking at a hollowing out process and what's going on with the fabric of statehood. The 21st century has really brought us to a point of reexamining how we function or don't function socially. And I think we're seeing that with the election fraud that we all experience, local governments that seem to have their own agendas that aren't paired with their populations. It's all right in front of us, and it's a very real thing on an individual level and on a daily level in our communities. It used to be something we could point to the federal government and the newscasts and say, ha, that's just going on. But now these things are real, you can touch them, and they're touching us. And we're not escaping that.
Right. So as preppers, this is what I find myself doing. As a prepper, I find myself wanting to make sure that I'm paying attention to what's happening locally in my community so that I can... And I'm not just saying, okay, who's, you know, I'm not going to the Rotary Club and seeing, you know, any sort of election forum. I'm not doing that. I'm paying attention to who's the power broker in my community, who sways power, and how they do it, and who their associates are. Am I on the right track when I do that?
You're absolutely on the right track. People naturally organize around resources and power. And we can see that that's changing rapidly again, where there's more of some and less of others. But it's right in our face, and it's right in our face daily, and we're being challenged by it. And, you know, there are a tremendous amount of choices that we're all making every day based on what we see and try to predict and forecast forwards. And it's not an easy game for any of us.
What, Sean, are some ways to, I'll say, navigate around this cartelification? Because this isn't an instantaneous thing. A lot of prepper scenarios have an instantaneousness to them. You know, the meteor strike, an EMP or something. What we're talking about is begun in America quite a while ago and is going to go on for a long time. So it's an ongoing process. How does one, you know, typical normal person in America, as I say, navigate through cartelification?
Look, I'm glad you brought that up. There's nothing new under the sun. And I can absolutely say we need to look to human behavior and look to history for answers. I can take you back to 426 AD in St. Augustine of Hippo in a comment that he made at large about the same thing that we're experiencing today. If I may reference, and I need to grab my notes here, I want to give you guys a quote from St. Augustine about this. And I think it's going to be incredibly relatable to everything that we're experiencing. Here's the quote from St. Augustine. "Remove justice, and what are kingdoms but giant gangs of criminals on a large writ scale? What are criminals but petty kingdoms? A gang is a group of men under command of a leader, bound by a compact of association in which plunder is divided accordingly into agreed convention. If the villainy wins so many recruits from the ranks of the demoralized that it acquires territory, establishes a base, captures cities and subdues people, it then openly arrogates itself to the title of kingdom, which is conferred on it in the eyes of the world, not by the renouncing of aggression, but by the attainment of impunity." This is St. Augustine of Hippo in his remarks in City of God, chapter 4:4. 426 AD. And there's a tremendous amount that can be grabbed from that.
Exactly. And you describe the cartel response to the attempt to capture El Chapo's son. And oh, by the way, we didn't mention this in the story, but it's a key fact. Everyone kind of presumed it. The government let the guy go because the weakened government let the guy go because a town was getting shot up. And by the way, those Mexican troops were going to be on the receiving end of those RPGs and those 50 cals. And so it worked. And you talk about violent lobbying. We see this all over the world where gangs, cartels, whatever you want to call them, will just go and do these sorts of things to get their way. And a weakened government gives in.
You know, it's funny too, and I'm gonna grab from history again and head back to Machiavelli. You know, he said that men in iron will always find money and bread, and that's what these cartel members are doing. They're disaffected people that have found a way and a pathway to earn a living and survive well. You're not going to find them, you know, shying away from the use of violence when violence is their tool to actually succeeding.
Yeah, and an example of that that's less dramatic and very relatable, but it's a great illustration of this principle. Canada imposed a bunch of taxes on cigarettes a few years ago. I don't remember when. Doesn't matter. And there were all these people on the northern border of the U.S. I seem to remember like the Seneca Indian Reservation, which borders Canada, for example. All kinds of American cigarettes that were way cheaper, so there was a delta between cost and selling price. Yet all these people, including the tribe, running cigarettes into Canada. And when you have government doing all kinds of stuff, taxing everything, regulating everything like the Canadians were doing, you're going to create a market. And whenever there's a market, it will be fulfilled by people doing illegal stuff. And so no one out there thinks governments in the world, especially the U.S. government, are going to be passing fewer laws and deregulating and all of that. So we're going to have more and more controls, more and more market, more and more cartels, government either looking the other way with the cartels because they're bribed or they're scared or whatever it may be. So this is the world, preppers, you need to think about living in. It's described in different ways in my books, 299 Days, when I describe, you know, the town of Frederickson. In Shelby's books, A Great State, when she describes how Portland operates, you can see this same thing playing out. So, yeah, what do you think about that? More markets, more opportunity, more cartels?
100%. You know, government's not going away. And that's the thing in a collapse. Everybody, you know, assumes that government goes away. It's just another competitor in a larger market of gangs. And that's what happens, you know, where they're able to push forward and force people to live in a certain set of conditions or help them live in a certain set of conditions if they're, you know, more enlightened, a set of despots. You've got a number of things that you've got to look at. I like to look at mega trends. I like to look at what goes on, and Kilcullen had a tremendous amount of influence and impact on my thinking, from Accidental Gorilla to Out of the Mountains, a couple of books that everybody should invest some time in, you know. But we've got to look at mega trends and how governments are going to formulate their plans to retain power and stability. And you are going to see that the ecology in human behavior drives people in a crisis more towards cities than out of cities. And sometimes that's counterintuitive.
I was going to say, when you told me that before we started recording, I was like, what? Keep going with that.
Let's look at some mega trends and drivers, okay? We have a tremendous amount of population growth in our country, whether it's from illegal immigration to our own migration. We're dislocating, yet we're still connected, and we're growing this model. We have accelerated urban growth. You know, people aren't flocking out of the cities. They're making giant cities, mega cities. And that's leading to also to coastal urbanization, or littoral urbanization, as Kilcullen puts it. And where do we see most of us flocking to? Giant cities on the coast. We're not walking away from it. We're walking towards it, and we're walking towards crisis.
I think you're exactly right. And when you say we're walking or we're going into cities, yes, the general population is. Everybody listening is not. I mean, you may live in a city right now, listener, but you're not like flocking to Seattle or New York or whatever. But you're talking about the masses are going there. And that's absolutely right. Creating mega cities. Look at the growth of what I'm familiar with, Seattle, in the past few years. It's been tremendous. Yeah. So I want to make that clear. I didn't want people thinking, is this Sean Swanson guy saying everyone wants to live in a city?
No, but let's talk about what a city really is. It's a place where you can get food, fuel, water, and goods and services. And there's not one of us out there that isn't looking to secure those things.
And all of those services that you just said are actually being stripped from rural communities.
Correct.
Those things are actually being taken away. And on the flip side of that, too, to add to what Glenn just said a moment ago, same with, y'all know, we talk about Seattle and Portland because that's our experience. Portland has had exponential growth in the last two decades, which it just floors me. But it also, it's not because of job growth and because private business has been allowed to grow. It's because government's growing. That's what's bringing, it's government jobs and government dependence. So the services are there, but there's a price to that poker, isn't there?
There is, but you know what's interesting is the pace of growth is outstripping government's ability to actually operate properly and make sure the services are in place or available.
Well, here's a good example. In Portland, Oregon, and in Oregon in general, there has not been a new freeway built since the mid-70s. But yet you've had growth by the millions, literally the millions. And so if you don't know what gridlock is at 5 o'clock, just go hang out in Portland at 5 o'clock. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I'm always talking about, and I have to tell myself this because I suffer from it, and that is don't assume people are like you. Don't project your values and all of that and assume others will be like that. Well, I think a lot of preppers, me included, unless I sit down and think about it, preppers often think, for example, people aren't going to go to the cities. Cities are terrible. I mean, look at this city. It's terrible. Look at San Francisco. Look at all the fecal matter on the streets.
And the drugs.
People
yes.
aren't going to go to cities because people are smarter than that. Well, what you're doing is you're describing your values and all that. And it's important to candidly listen to podcasts like this and listen to guests like Sean who say, no, the trend is people will be going into cities. Why you need to know that as a prepper is you need to understand where all the people are going and that, for example, government services cannot keep pace with all of the new demand and that there's crime and all these other things. Count on it, preppers. Count on cities getting bigger, cities getting uglier and nastier and dirtier and more corrupt. And then you, prepper, can deal with the effects of that, which probably includes some portion of those people walking out of the cities and coming to where you live. That's why all this matters.
And keep in mind, let me add this too. Several of the big mega cities that we've talked about, I'm thinking of LA in particular, LA in particular, San Francisco's there too. The miles and miles and blocks of homeless tents, and the disease, typhus, is becoming a big deal amongst the homeless because rats grow and all of that. They have a disease problem right now in LA, and we're not even in a quote unquote official collapse. So when you have that, and you have these big cities that have these huge homeless populations that are so problematic, and they don't know what to do with them now, but people are kind of learning and tolerating it now. You and I have watched videos of homeless people just losing their mind and screaming and yelling and acting violently while people are playing in the same park with their small kids. You and I, all of us here, would be like, heck no, we're out of here. No way, Jose. That's normal. So it's creating this new level of normalcy bias too.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You mentioned, perfect example, typhus in LA. Well, that's LA. I don't live there. The people with typhus are going to leave LA and they're going to come to your little town. And now, for example, the episode we did with RV Prepper, where we talked about one of the uses for RVs is to have a little quarantine area. See how all this ties together? This affects you. This isn't just the Glenn, Shelby, and Sean Megatrans, you know, intellectual hour. It relates to people coming towards you. So, yeah,
well,
Sean.
Well, I mean, ask yourself when you look out your window. Who runs your neighborhood, the government or the gangsters? And you have to do that. You know, do you have a corrupt set of officials running your city council? Do you have a government that's more enlightened managing problems and growing your area intelligently? There's a number of things that we have to look at, but these are all things that everyone in your audience can touch. These aren't things that academics are just talking about that are in the ether. These are daily things that are practical to look at and be involved in.
Absolutely. And it just hit me. And this happens all the time when we're talking to great guests. I get new ideas by listening. Here's what I just realized. We were talking about the Canada cigarette thing where there's a market for something. And I'm not talking a money market. I'm talking a political market. As the government gets weaker and people can't trust it. And now I'm talking about folks in rural areas primarily. You know what we get to do? There's going to be a gap, a governance gap. Guess what we get to do? We get to run stuff more on our own. We get to start providing water to people. We get to start being charitable and helping out older people and disabled people. We're going to start on our own. No government, no charter, no taxes, no nothing. We're going to start solving our own problems. And,
well,
you know,
and
what
no cartels.
Starts?
The key there with that is no cartels either. That's a
exactly.
Big deal.
Well, and that's part of the service we would provide in rural areas, the Patriot Way works, is we're going to keep bad guys out. And we're going to do good stuff and people will flock to us. And preppers, you need to count on that possibility or hopefully probability where you are, because you need to factor that in. You don't have to do this on your own, guys. There might be community forming up. Why might community be formed up? Because of governance gaps. Why might that happen? Because of all these big trends. It all ties together.
I have to, let me tail in that as well. You can look at it out there in a number of different places, but look at what's called choice theory. Choice theory teaches us that we're, you know, always motivated by what we want at the moment, but there's five basic needs that we always seek and go after. And those five basic needs are to attain love and belonging, achieve self-worth and power, attain and maintain our freedom, seek enjoyment and fun, and then the fifth one is to secure our survival and health. We're all looking for those five basic needs. So when you're wrapped up in a community, which we all are, we need to be looking at who's running the show for those five basic survival needs. Is it the gangsters, or is it the government? Or is it an independent group of folks that have decided to make sure that they can provide for themselves and have a little bit more of an enlightened government? It matters. Being involved in your local communities means drilling down deep and putting yourself at risk out there to make a difference for not only your family, but your community members.
Exactly. And you can start doing that. It's free, by the way. Start networking. Start getting to know people. Oh, hey, I'm the tactical guy. Why do I need to know a guy who knows how to repair water systems? I think that answered the question answers itself. Get to know folks and get to know their motives. And talked about this on the on an upcoming episode with John from The Prepared Mind about the psychological stuff, vetting people and trusting people. You can do it now. You need to do it now, because all of a sudden, when it's up to you and your buddies to make sure that Mrs. So-and-so, the elderly lady, has water at her house, you better start thinking about this now, because that's how you do it. It's not having a $7,000 AR-15. It's much more nuanced. It's prepping 2.0.
Yeah, and what's great about that is, you know what, you can ignore everything that we've talked about so far. You can sit on your couch, do whatever you want to do, watch Netflix, have a great time, okay? But I guarantee you, suffering and struggle are nature's preferred agents for inspiring change, and you will sooner or later encounter that.
Interesting. Exactly. And let me just add this, too. I think in all of this, and going back to our original story about the El Chapo son situation, comms are so important. Glenn and I are still in the getting that all figured out and getting it all set up. Yes, we've got our ham license so that we can talk to the other group in another part of the state or another part of the country, and we can keep that intel going. And if anything, the example that we saw of El Chapo's son, where the gangs figured out their comms a whole lot better than the police force. We need to always, we need to have those up. Those are all the lessons that we need to have there. So if I can inspire anybody, go get your ham license and get your radio comms up big time.
Exactly. Sean, you got more good stuff. I mean, you've always got notes and detailed outlines. We don't want to get in the way with that. Keep flowing, my friend.
No, I just, you know, we've got a trifecta of trouble we're facing. Gaps in governance, resource demands and scarcity, and then population growth and connectivity. None of us are not going to be outside of that loop, you know, and we've got to look to human behavior, and we have to look to history, because the answers are there. We know what's coming because we can predict forward. There's a praxis to what goes on, and we need to look at this and look at it intelligently and slow down and look inside for answers and look inside to our own behaviors and then be able to apply that forwards.
You used a very favorite word that you have used recently with Glenn, praxis. And by the way, Sean uses big words. I really like that as a writer. So what does that mean? What does that mean in our application today?
You know, there's a number of different definitions for praxis, but predicting things and how they start to play out is what we're really about. Every one of us on a survival level is taking in information from our environment, and we're setting it inside our own experiences and then trying to project forward what an answer is to the problems that we see. And that praxis is what we're trying to do in loop after loop, almost like an OODA loop, every day. You know, I see a marriage between praxis and OODA that you know, most people don't.
And OODA, just for folks who are unfamiliar, is OODA, which is observe, orient, decide, and act. And it's basically, well, you can maybe explain it better. I didn't want people to think they were missing an acronym there.
Yeah, and I apologies. I'm a victim of my own culture when it comes to that. But an OODA loop is incredibly important, you know. And we go through that process every day: vision, decision, action. Thousands of times we go through that routine loop in our behavior and apply it to our environment. So praxis is a natural outcome of that. Our forecasting ability, our predictive ability, and it's important to know none of us have the answer for everybody. I can only point you in the direction of looking to yourself as an organism and then applying what you see. And it's going to help you maintain stability in your environment and progress at a level that's, you know, going to reflect success in the face of some daunting problems that are individual, community, and national based.
One thing I want preppers to hear is that stuff isn't one or two dimensional. And I'm going to go back to prepping 1.0, and candidly, most prepper novels, okay? Sorry to criticize others, but I'm going to hear. Prepping 1.0 and most prepper novels are the hordes of hungry people came to my house and I shot a bunch of them and stuff happened. Or the government came to my house and I shot a bunch of people and here's what happened. That's too simplistic. Listen to what we're talking about. You can tell it's about all these nuanced things, all these trends. I mean, you've not just got government and you've not just got hungry people, you've got gangs and you've got patriot organizations. It's way more complicated, way more nuanced. Instead of, you know, two-dimensional checks, it's checkers. It's like four-dimensional chess. And why this matters is because if you have in your mind for years and years, you've told yourself, I'm going to sit in this part of my house and I'm going to shoot people out of this window and that's my plan. That's not a good enough plan. That's prepping 1.0. And it's good to have that plan, by the way. That's pretty good. People might come to your house. You might need to shoot them. Hopefully not. But what you need to do is take in all of this, the complexity and the nuance. But don't be troubled by the complexity and the nuance and say, oh, golly, I'm going to throw up my hands. There's nothing that can be done. Because, as Sean mentioned, look at human history. Look at human behavior. Look at these trends. Look at how stuff works in other parts of the world. There are answers to this. People have come up with answers to this. We just need to open our minds and look at all that. And we have about a minute. So, Shelby, yes, ma'am.
So let me, as we kind of wrap up here, and we, of course, we will always take this awesome conversation over to the Patreon side. For those of you who support us on Patreon, please join us over there. But here's what I'm, just to kind of wrap up for us here. We are in a decline and a degrading. I don't expect tomorrow or with another election or all of a sudden everyone to get back to, you know, the original Constitution and for our culture to clean up its act. Our culture, our corruption, all of that, those don't self-correct. They never have in history, as far as I know. This decline that we are in will continue. And we need to be prepared for that. The decline we are continuing into right now is also a very, very much a cartelification of America. So on that note, I want to leave everyone with our favorite quote, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.